This podcast is brought to you by the Dutch media platform Triathlon Insight.
1, 2, 3, 4.
What is up, guys, and welcome back to a new episode of Grit Grind Girona. Today I'm joined by Taylor Spivey, one of the world's top athletes into triathlon, and she has competed at the biggest stages, raced against the best people around the world, and knows exactly what it takes to push past her limits. From growing up on the beaches of Redondo Beach in Los Angeles, California, to training to become her best self in Girona, her story is one of dedication, resilience, and passion for the sport. In this episode, we will talk about her path to becoming a professional triathlete, the lessons she learned along the way, and what keeps her motivated day after day. So whether you're a triathlete yourself, a fan of endurance sports, or just someone who knows, who loves a good story of perseverance, this one's for you. Taylor, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, wow. Thank you for having me. That was quite the introduction.
Well, we'll do our best. We'll do our best. But, how are you doing, Taylor?
I'm good. You know, I suffered a bit just on a run that I did with you, but now I'm recovering. And, yeah, I'm excited for this podcast. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure. And of course, it's really nice for being in your new home.
Yeah.
New home since like a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah. Welcome to my new place. Yeah. It's a lot bigger and brand new, and I'm really excited to build this home.
I can imagine. So, I mean, it's finally again in the finally in the podcast right now, and we already I've been talking to you a little bit about it for a longer time, of course, but now it's here. And before we really dive in into getting to know you a little bit better, a couple of weeks ago already, first race of the season done, right?
Yeah. We had a very early start to the season. Yeah. I wouldn't say I was quite ready for it, but I wanted to make sure I had enough races for the short course Triathlon series.
Yeah. So the race was a couple of weeks ago in Abu Dhabi, first WTCS race of the year, right?
Yeah. So it was the first WTCS race of the year, and it was the first one of the series. So yeah, I have an ambitious goal this year of trying to tackle three series. And this was the start to that.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll see
how it
goes.
And the other ones will start soon as well. All right. Well, before we'll going into the deeper in these kind of things, let's try and get to know you a little bit better. I already talked about Redondo Beach, right? That's where you're from in California. I like to build this podcast up in a couple of different segments. First of all, I like to do a couple of quick fire questions. First of all, in general, so general questions, then we can talk a little bit about your answers that you give me. And after that, of course, it's a podcast in and about Girona. So we'll have a quick fire questions part about Girona as well.
Okay.
And then after that, I think it's nice to look towards what's coming up for upcoming season and other future, you know. So let's start with first quick fire questions for in general. Yeah. Are you ready?
I hope so.
What is your proudest achievement in your sport?
Oof, my proudest achievement. I'd say there's a few, but I think there's a few moments. And one of them is definitely winning that Olympic medal in the mixed team relay in Paris with Team USA. I think, to come away with that medal after, I think, not quite racing to my fullest potential in the individual a few days before, that was really rewarding. And an Olympic medal is something you'll cherish for the rest of your life, so
yeah,
that's really special.
All right, cool. What has been your hardest race so far?
My hardest race,
I think, can be physically, can be also mentally or different things, of course.
I think I've had quite a few tough races, but I think the individual race in Paris was one of the hardest, not necessarily because it was any different to me than any other race. I just didn't have the best lead up because I was having a lot of health issues and I kept getting sick, and on race day, I just really wasn't feeling good. And you know, that's the one day where you
want to feel good.
So the fact that, yeah, I wasn't feeling good, and it was, you know, the pinnacle of the sport, was, I think, the reason I found it so tough, and I gave everything I could. But yeah, I was disappointed, even though like 10th place isn't horrible. For me, I had higher expectations of myself and how I would have at least performed in this race. Yeah. Like race result aside, I wanted to fight a bit more in the race. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Different kind of question. What languages do you speak?
Okay. Obviously English.
Yeah.
I speak a little bit of a few other languages, but I wouldn't say I'm fluent by any means, and I've forgotten a lot of it, and they definitely merge together. So we have Italian, because I studied abroad in Italy when I was in university for 9 months. We have Spanish, because I studied that growing up, and now we live in Spain, but we don't speak to each other in Spanish.
Oh, well, whenever we're at the pool and you're talking with the lifeguards and stuff like this, I'm like, wow, she's speaking so well Spanish, but
it's a facade. I think I probably sound like a 3-year-old when I speak to them. And then I can speak a little bit of French, which I did not learn in school. Okay. And that's just by being around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, a lot of languages.
But I would like to actually be able to have a conversation with someone. So maybe one day I will maybe take a proper class and immerse myself in a language.
All right. What's your most memorable finish line moment?
My most memorable finish line moment was probably my first podium in the WTCS series, and that was 2017 in Leeds. And that was just a race where I think all of my hard work kind of came together, and I was able to showcase, you know, all that I had put into the sport, and I came away with a second place to Flora Duffy. And
was it also a little bit like a feeling of breakthrough moment, maybe?
Yeah, it was definitely a breakthrough moment for me. I had also like lost some funding from the U.S. national team, and I was still putting together some good results on the World Cup stage, but this was definitely like a breakthrough moment. Yeah. And like since that moment, I'm pretty sure I've been called the most consistent athlete on the circuit, and have had, you know, good results ever since.
Cool. Who is one person you look up to for inspiration?
Oof.
If you have.
There's quite a few, and I think it's kind of evolved throughout my career, but a few people that I've admired have been, Flora Duffy, who I just spoke about, who I came second to, because she's always been, you know, at the top of her game, not just in one discipline, but all three, and she really raised the level of the sport. And another athlete who no longer races is Andrea Hewitt, and she came from surf lifesaving like myself, and she, I just kind of see a lot of myself in her, and she's just a cool person as well. So.
All right. What is your dream race destination?
My dream race destination. I don't know. I love racing in New Zealand. Okay. And I've only done, the New Plymouth World Cup there. So I would love to do like another race there. And then one race I'm really excited about, which is coming up this year, is Carla Vivari, and it's going to be a series race. And I've never been, and I've promised my former training partner, Vendela Frantova, who's Czech, that I would go 1 year, and this is going to be the year. So
you haven't been in Carla Vivari?
No, I haven't.
I have been.
Yeah?
Not racing myself, of course, but I joined a friend of mine, Jurek, when he was racing, but it's a really cool place.
Yeah, I think it'll be a cool place and a cool course, and
it's
like
a little bit of a different race than usual, like short distance races, right, with the hills and these
kind of things. It's nice because I think the series this year is a bit more dynamic with a few less flat races and a few more hilly races. Yep. So
cool.
It'll be nice to, you know, race something like this, because that's kind of what Leeds was for me mm-hmm. back when I had my first good performance. And yeah, I'm
hoping. When is that race?
I think it's like July-ish or August. I don't know. I have so many races on my calendar.
Okay. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, this one's tough. Okay, I have like favorite movies for different genres and like different vibes. But we'll go with, I like Fight Club a lot.
Okay.
That's like kind of the generic one. If you like a good mind twist. I like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I love Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
Because I always quote it and I make everyone I watch quote it.
All right, okay.
Everyone I know watch it if they haven't watched it. I made my coach watch it. I made Yuri watch it. And now they always joke with me and say lines from it. So I'm really proud.
Okay. Well, then you've completed the thing you wanted to achieve, right? What is your favorite sport outside of triathlon or swimming, cycling, and running?
I really love water and snow sports. Mm-hmm. I guess snow is obviously water.
Yeah.
I like snowboarding, skiing, and surfing, and anything to do with the ocean, really. Yeah.
You managed to do any of snowboarding, skiing in the last couple of years, or it's always tricky?
Yeah, I did go snowboarding with my friend in Kitzbühel, actually, maybe 2 years ago. And yeah, I hadn't been in 10 years, and it was so much fun. And it took a little while to like get the feelings back, but like, I still had it in me, and
nice. Yeah,
I grew up doing that a lot, so cool. I really enjoyed myself.
I always Andorra is so close by from here, when we should go, and isn't that, but there's always some things coming up, you know?
As a triathlete, you're not going to do that until you retire, so we always joke in my training group that like, well, we did say we were going to have this massive ski trip in 2025 when we all retired, but only like two of us were retired, so we might have to postpone that till 2029.
Who is the funniest athlete you know?
Oof, the funniest athlete? Huh. Chelsea Burns.
Yeah?
Okay. She's pretty funny. She's very clever and witty, and she knows how to make me laugh. And yeah, I trained a lot with her, and we're still in touch.
Okay. Are you more of an early bird or a night owl?
I used to be a night owl, but now I'm starting to be, I wouldn't say an early bird, because yeah, I'm not a morning person unless I have a lot of coffee. But yeah, I'm starting to become more of a morning person.
Okay. If you could visit any country tomorrow, where would you go?
Any country tomorrow? Oof.
Without thinking about training or these kind
Without
of
Without thinking about training, the one place I really want to go is India.
India?
I just want to experience like the food and the culture, and I don't know. I think it would just be such a different place than what I'm used to.
It's also not really a place where you should go or can go for triathlon, I think.
No, no. Definitely wouldn't go for triathlon.
I mean, you've seen a lot of the world already, but India you've been?
Yeah, like, no, I've read a book that was kind of based, it was like a loosely fiction, nonfiction called Shantaram, and it was based in India. Now there's like an HBO series that is pretty good, actually. But yeah, it just made me want to kind of like experience it because it's so different.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like a post-triathlon thing. Okay.
During your training, do you listen to any music or podcasts?
Yes, I listen to music. So only when I run, or I guess if I'm on the trainer. I don't listen to music when I ride because I don't think it's safe. But yeah, when I'm running, if it's like kind of a hard run, I'll listen to music. But if it's an easy run, I always listen to a podcast. And it's usually not sports related.
Okay.
But, well, every once in a while it might be sports related. But I really like to like turn off. And yeah, I listen to pretty much anything but sports. Like, I love like
what this. What is the favorite one you are following?
There's two. I might get some shit for it. The first one's like very good. It's This American Life, and they just have like a bunch of stories. And I don't know. I like it because it gives me like something else to think about besides sport. And then also like Call Her Daddy, because it's just kind of funny and girly and yeah, highly recommend. Okay. And she does really good interviews.
All right.
Cool. But yeah.
Nice. Do you prefer training with other people or do you prefer training on your own?
It's a mix. When I do an easy run, I like to do it by myself. But if it's like a hard session, I actually like to do it with people because I find I get a bit more out of myself and I can like just push like a little bit harder and it like I'll go faster, but it won't feel as hard. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, I've learned that over the years. When you just accept your own suffering, it's nicer to do in good company.
Okay. And final question from this segment, it's what is one thing still on your bucket list?
On my bucket list? For a triathlon?
Or not triathlon?
For triathlon, right. It's to win a series race. And okay. Yeah.
And by that is series races, short distance series.
Yeah, yeah. Well, any series, but okay. Yeah, a short distance would be nice.
A win every day is going to be good, of course.
But yeah. Yeah, I think. Yeah, my heart is still with short course, but I am enjoying the challenge of long course. Outside of triathlon, my bucket list. I don't know. I just want to like travel and see some really interesting places and like experience some totally different cultural mm-hmm. like cuisine and stuff. Yeah. But
isn't it also the thing with because we just talked a little bit about it about the part of India, but as a triathlete, especially who has been all over the world already with the short distance series, you go to a race, but then around the races you're at the hotel and you're at this, and then after a race you're gone again. It's yeah. you've been to a lot of places, but have you really seen much of it? That's always a little bit like the question, right? You've been to it, but have you been able to like really get into town or into cities?
Yeah, you don't really experience the culture unless you're there for maybe like a few weeks before the race or you stay a few days after. But yeah, generally, like if you're there for a week, you're prioritizing your relaxation time and staying in the hotel, mm-hmm. staying off your feet and definitely not sightseeing. So yeah, and I feel like you kind of go to similar cultures when you're doing triathlon because they're, you know, a bit more modern and first world. So yeah. I think it would be cool to experience something totally different.
Okay. You talked a little bit about it already, but you grew up in Redondo Beach in Los Angeles, that is, right?
Yeah, it's a suburb of LA. So yeah. I actually grew up in Manhattan Beach, but Manhattan Redondo, both my parents live in each town. So
to me, like Redondo Beach is like really your American name already, Redondo.
Redondo Beach.
It sounds good. But what is surf life-saving? What is it?
It's not very European, but it's very like common on the coastal parts of the US and like very much in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
So.
Because that's one of the sports you've been doing when you were younger, right?
Yeah. So like at the age of 9, you're allowed to go into this, it's like a summer camp program called Junior Lifeguards in the US. In Australia and New Zealand, it's called Nippers. And it's just like this camp run by basically like lifeguards. And it's not like your typical summer camp. You're kind of like, they're a bit tough on you at the beginning. And you do like some races. You do what's called a buoy swim every day, which is like essentially what we do in every race. You do some like running competitions. You learn how to paddleboard and surf a bit. And
that's where really like your love of water sports.
Yeah. That's definitely where my love of water sports began. And I think it was just like, I think it's a really great program for kids because eventually I became an instructor once I was like of age. And I did it from the age of 9 to the age of 18 when I was a kid. Wow. And competed on national competitions, international competitions, and then I became a lifeguard and continued to compete. So I always thought it was like a fun alternative to just like swimming back and forth in a pool mm-hmm. and competing in the pool, because that gets, you know, a little dull at times. And I think that was one of my main motivations to actually swim in university while I studied, because yeah, it was just like something to look forward to and a fun way to experience competition and travel a bit as well.
Cool. And you talked a little bit about us already as well. You've been combining the sort of life saving with eventually swimming. Was it mainly like really indoor swimming, or not like open water swimming, or both as well?
So surf life saving, well, in the US it's open water, but when you get to like the international competitions, there are some indoor events which are kind of funny to me, because we would never
would surf life saving indoor events.
Yeah, or? Because I think they try to incorporate the like pool lifeguard aspect of it. But it was like we would always kind of joke around that we like the only time we would ever do these events was at these competitions. Okay. So we were really there for like the beach sports. But it was just a cool experience. And I think if any kids have the opportunity to do this program and they're on the coast, I highly recommend it.
Cool. Is it true that your parents met when they were competing in an Ironman event?
Yes, my parents met doing triathlon. I don't know the details of it. But yes, they met during triathlon, and apparently I also did an Ironman when I was in my mom's stomach. So,
wow.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It was really hard work.
Yeah. So your mom was a former, well, she has been a professional triathlete as well, right?
Yeah, so my mom was a professional triathlete. My dad was like just a really strong age grouper. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, I didn't really know much about triathlon actually growing up. I like knew they did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't ride a bike until, well, I mean, I rode a bike to work and to the beach, but I didn't like ride a bike
for training
until I was like 21, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's actually, well, maybe at that time of triathlon or whatever was pretty normal, maybe a little bit more normal, but nowadays you've got all these people already doing triathlon when they were 10 or whatever.
Yeah. I think it's really different in the US than it is in Europe.
Okay.
I think usually in the US, like the focus on sports is definitely like university sports, mm-hmm. and getting like a scholarship to go to university because it's super expensive. And yeah, so I swam in university. A lot of the other American triathletes actually ran in university. But yeah, a lot of us picked up cycling later in life.
Yeah.
But like I said before, I commuted to work, mm-hmm. and to lifeguarding on just this like super heavy, like 50 kilo, like rusty, like Schwinn vintage bike and no gears. Like, so I think I got something out of it for sure, but I wasn't going on a ride more than just to get from
I can already
point
imagine,
A to
imagine it for like in a movie in LA on the beach, you know, on a cool bike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's exactly like stereotypical. Yeah.
That's cool. It. Well, but how did you eventually get into triathlon then?
So when I studied in university, I studied architecture and I swam. And I was in a 5-year program. So the fourth year, we were allowed to study abroad. And I decided to go to Florence. So just before I studied abroad and made this decision, I wanted to, it's called redshirting a year. So you take a year off of the sport you're doing because you only have 4 years of eligibility. And I joined the club team at my university, which was Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo. And yeah, I did a triathlon before I left for studying abroad, and a coach had seen my result. And while I was studying abroad, he actually reached out to me to start coaching me, and he wanted me to be, you know, part of the, like, U.S., like, development group, and, and he wanted to, like, yeah, just help me get into the sport. And in my mind, I didn't know anything about this. I was like, oh, it's only like 70.3 or longer, you know, like I had no idea. I was clueless. But yeah, I like listened to him and like trusted him and started watching actually all the world triathlon races because I was too afraid to go outside on my bike in Italy because of the drivers.
How old are you at this point?
I was 21, I think.
Okay.
Ish, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, when I started riding my bike for the
exactly.
first time. And yeah, I started watching all the world triathlon races when I would have like a trainer ride. And I learned a lot about the sport through that. And when I finished studying abroad, I came back and competed in a race and earned my like elite license as you do in the US, and finished off my last year of swimming and competed in our collegiate club nationals. And there was actually a non-draft race. I think it was like the second year they had non-draft racing there, and I won that race. So from I just like went full send on the swim and the bike because I knew I wasn't a good runner, and just ran like try like a, just I didn't want to get caught, you know. Yeah. And it was a cool experience. And without this coach who just happened to find my results, I wouldn't be in this sport today.
And then I think from that point on, whenever you win such a race and then you get noticed even more, and then you get into like maybe some development teams of the US or I think.
Yeah. Like Ben Canute had won the year prior and he had a lot of support from the US team. I think they were a bit reluctant with me because I didn't come from a running background, but eventually, yeah, I got some support. And even if I was just kind of there as more of a training partner, I think it was like a good stepping stone to get to where I am now. And yeah, I worked really hard at trying to just stay healthy and be a consistent runner. And luckily I had, you know, good coaches along the way who didn't like injure me. I think that went a long way for me.
And then I think you talked a little bit about it already, but in 2017 the race in Leeds was one of the big breakthroughs, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then I think especially like 2019 was an amazing like year for you, like all these like fourth, fifth, all these really cool and nice results. And I think you finished fourth overall in the series for that year.
Yeah, I think from 2019 to 2023, because last year I didn't really compete in the series. I finished in the top four.
All the time.
I get a lot for fourth. In COVID year, I actually finished third.
And that was the year when there was.
But that's when they counted the Olympics, and I didn't go. Yeah.
And we don't have to talk that much about it anymore, but then Tokyo 2020, eventually 21. One of the big things you were looking for, probably, of course. I mean, I think the Olympics are always one of the biggest things to look out for, but because in the US, there were so many strong women, now as well, but there always have been, but especially the year again, you were just not on the qualification the selection, right? Just not made in?
Yeah, I just had two really bad days actually on the days of the qualification races. So one was in the Tokyo test event in 2019.
Yep.
I had some stomach issues and I like walked for I don't know, it felt like at least a K, and I just got caught with like 400 meters to go and missed out on the auto selection spot. But yeah, it was
wasn't it just like a couple of seconds or something?
It was a couple of seconds. I just missed it. And then the next qualification race was in Yokohama in 2021, and because it was COVID, like the hotel, there were so many restrictions. We couldn't leave out the floor of our room. We couldn't order Amazon. We couldn't do anything. So I didn't have my luggage. It didn't arrive. I didn't have my suitcase. I didn't have my bike. I didn't have anything. And this was the qualification race. Wow, and I was so stressed. And I'd packed also like food because I knew we were going to be kind of quarantined in this room all week. I didn't have anything to train in. Like I only had my backpack. So I was like really stressed. I didn't get my luggage until less than 24 hours before the race. And like I said before, it's not like now when I could have like gone down the street and got some food that like I liked. I was being delivered this like food that I wasn't used to. And I think I was just all of that compounded, and I wasn't in the right headspace, and I just missed a breakaway, and I ended up finishing fourth, and the podium was auto qualification, and then it came down to selection with me and Katie. And Katie had also been through a lot in those 2 years, and it's crazy to think that we were kind of the two favorites, and then it came down to both of us.
Still so crazy to me. Yeah. Well, I understand rules are rules and whatever, but like at the biggest event in 4 years, the even top five athletes or top 10 athletes in the world, they can't race because there's like only
crazy.
Three or four slots. And it's so insane.
It's so crazy. Yeah, and at the time I was like ranked number one in the World Series ranking. Wow. And yeah, I mean, I know they weren't basing it on ranking, but...
Was it tough for you to watch that race?
So I'd gone to Tokyo as a reserve for the relay.
Okay, really?
So I was... Yeah, I was like questioning it, but someone told me like, basically like, what if something happens? Like you want to be there to be at least on the relay or the individual race. So yeah, I was there and I was pretty jet lagged because we were only there for like a short period of time because we weren't prioritizing racing necessarily. But yeah, it was tough. I think after the announcement, I kind of turned off social media and didn't go on for 2 weeks. But yeah, being there was tough, but I think at that point I'd kind of accepted it. But yeah, it wasn't easy.
I can imagine. And, well, a couple of years later, you mentioned it at the beginning already, Paris, you were allowed to go to Paris. Luckily you got a qualification and, well, the individual race was not really as you had hoped for. Still a 10th place, which to me is amazing.
Thanks.
But especially, I mean, getting an Olympic medal with being second with Team USA, that's incredible, right?
Yeah, that was really special. I think the individual race, like I said, it didn't go like I wanted to. I had a really off day. I felt horrible, and I don't usually feel like that in races. So I gave it my all, but... Me, along with other American athletes, we all kind of had subpar performances in the individual. But we kind of came together as a team, and Morgan wanted us to watch the miracle, that like super cheesy American on ice movie. So we did that as a team. It's team bonding. And I've said this in some interviews because I think people love it. But there's like this quote in there where the coach goes like, 9 times out of 10, like the other team's gonna win, but this is that one time out of 10 that we're gonna win. And so I like jokingly said this to the others before the race, and we didn't win, but it was a close race. And
it was a sprint finish, right?
Yeah, it was a sprint finish between three of us, and it was really exciting, and I think it was a bit of redemption for our team, but yeah. It was cool. And I think I just love being a part of a team because triathlon's so individualized. And so I was like, I was really hyping up everyone else. And Nib said I was like the annoying sister or mom before, but I was just like really trying to pump her up. And as much as she says I was being annoying, I think she loved it.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. Luckily, an amazing experience, I think, after all. At the Olympics, I think later in this podcast we'll talk a little bit about. I will ask you if this was the final Olympics or not. We'll be talking a little bit about it later on. I think it's time for us to get going with the second part of the quick fire questions, and that's about the city and the place where we are in right now.
Yeah,
Girona. Since when are you living in Girona? How long has it been?
I've been living in Girona since like 2020-ish, like just after lockdown.
Okay.
I think I officially moved here.
Yeah.
But I had come here for my first training camp with my current coach, Paulo Sousa, and the triathlon squad.
Yeah.
I think it was before that Leeds race, actually. We went to Banyoles.
2017, yeah.
Yeah, so it was between Yokohama and Banyoles. There's like, was like a 2-week block or something, and yeah, we went to
because
Banyoles.
Back then Banyoles was still a some years they had the World Cup, I think, even. Some years they had a European Cup, I think.
Yeah, not during this period, though. Oh, they didn't have these races, unfortunately. But it was, like, a good place to go to train in Europe with the time zones. And like I told you, I wasn't getting funding to this Leeds race. I had lost it, so I just went to somewhere affordable, and I just, like, flew in last minute. And there was, like, a direct flight from the Girona airport, so it was super nice. But, yeah, so that was my first time here, 2017. And then more or less Girona. Bagnoles is Girona. Yeah, well, yeah. And then every year since then, I'd come for like that period and whenever we had European blocks, and I would rent an Airbnb either in Bagnoles or in Girona. And I liked it. And I slowly started to get to know people here. And one of my really good friends from the US actually had moved here a few years before. And she like helped me with a lot of things, like finding, you know, a real estate person, where to buy this, where to go do that. And it all led to this now. And I've been here since, late 2020. But I don't know if I necessarily live here full time because I'm constantly living out of suitcase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do consider this home now for like a
4.5 fraction, 5 years,
fraction of the year.
Yeah. Cool. What is your favorite place for coffee in Girona?
My favorite place for coffee. I'm not like a huge coffee snob.
Okay.
I have a grinder, I have an AeroPress, and I travel with beans, all because of my former teammate, Chelsea, made me do this. And she bought me all of these pieces. Like, she bought me the really nice grinder, an AeroPress that I still have to this day. And now I've embraced it, and I kind of use it for training almost. Mm-hmm. Like, on the hard days, I'll have coffee, and on the easy days, I won't. My favorite place to have coffee.
Or otherwise, I guess, like, maybe meet up with people.
I like Tramontana. And then I've spent a lot of time at La Comuna. Mm-hmm. There are so many good coffee places here. I think you can't really go wrong. I think someone should just do like a tour of coffee one day and just be super hyper. That would be pretty funny.
Yeah. What is your favorite bike loop?
My favorite bike loop. Oof. Okay. I have two. One that I do a lot and one that I don't do as much because it's a longer ride.
Yeah.
I kind of like it's called the Hincapie loop, mm-hmm. but it's like kind of just like, I like going to Santa Pola. I like that route. There aren't a lot of cars, and like, it's one that I basically haven't done it in a while, actually. But
you wanted to say I basically do every day, but I haven't.
No, I do like weekly when I'm here. But I think because we've been moving, I haven't done it. And another one I really like is the Saint Hilary Loop.
Yeah.
And we're gonna do that on Sunday.
Nice.
Tomorrow, cool. If you want to come.
Do you prefer running on Vias Verdes or maybe some trail running on El San Jose? Or have you not been doing it at all? I don't know.
I used to live like at the bottom of El's, like in the trails, and that was really the first time I experienced some of those. And it was pretty fun. But I think when I'm in the off season, I like those hillier, more adventurous trails. But when I'm training properly, like, I kind of need to play it safe, mm-hmm. and not trip on anything, and use my recovery rides to recover and not climb a mountain, which I've done mistakenly a few times for the sake of adventure. But yeah, it's kind of crazy now that we're in this new house that there's actually so much running like near
to be discovered.
Yeah. And I am still discovering, which is pretty cool. Kind of like the riding. I feel like I'm always discovering something new, which I really like.
But lately, I've seen you passing by quite often on a mountain bike even.
Yeah. And that's also a good way to discover the trails or running loops. But I do enjoy, there's so many trails, and even more so for like gravel and mountain biking. I'm by no means like qualified to be a mountain biker. I'd say I probably just take my mountain bike on the gravel trails, but it's just a nice alternative to getting off the road and going on an easy ride. And still doing what you need to do in training, kind of
in a different way, having fun.
Yeah, having a bit
time
of fun.
Time goes by
it.
Fast.
Yeah.
Nice. Have you been to a Girona FC football game?
I have not. And now I live so close to
now
the stadium.
If you walk out the door, you can see the stadium.
Okay, we'll have to go together.
Yeah, we have to go. What is your favorite restaurant in Girona?
Okay, I have two, and I always recommend them to people. We'll call these dinner restaurants. One is Sinofos. Jan Ferdino actually recommended it to me a long time ago. And yeah, it's like Catalan food, but like a little bit fancy, but not too, like it's still cool. And it's a really small restaurant, and they have really good meat and like some traditional dishes with a twist and a really good French toast. Highly recommend.
Okay.
But their steak is like so good. Mm-hmm. And then Can Pie, I think. Oh my gosh. They also have a place called Bedell now, and it's the same restaurant. But this one is actually Can Pie. I could be totally butchering this. But it's like on the trails in Saint Daniel, and you kind of have to hike to it.
Wow.
And it's really beautiful for like maybe even like a lunch or like a sunset in the summer sort of meal. And
gotta have to look it up.
It's kind of like, yeah, more of an adventure, but it's really cool. And they have a lot of like local food that they like even have like a garden of flowers that they use for the meals and like chickens and stuff. But yeah, it's cool.
All right. What is your favorite thing to do in or around Girona besides training?
Besides training? Well, I think in this off season, it was kind of the first time I wanted to do like a staycation because I'd been traveling so much and I don't really get to experience Girona like a normal person. So I just kind of did like a restaurant tour and went on some hikes. And yeah, it's crazy that the food and the cuisine here is so good. And I think it's a big reason for that is because of the Rocco brothers and their presence here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the food scene is like incredible. I mean, I think I gained a few kilos, but it was totally worth it. And it was just fun to go to all these restaurants that I don't normally go to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. What do you dislike the most about Girona?
Oh, the pool.
Pool, yeah.
I love the pool, but in the winter, I don't love it because it's just like everyone wants to swim in the morning when it's cold outside, and the lane situation is not my favorite. I'm pretty sure the locals absolutely hate us. But I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love the pool. I love the lifeguards.
Yeah.
I like swimming with you, Milan. But I just like sometimes it's a scene and I try to just pick the times where no one's there because I can't be bothered swimming around like people when it's, at least when it's a hard swim, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I understand everybody wants to go in the mornings, of course, when it's still cold and fresh outside. But especially, I think, in this time of the year where we're at right now, like February, March, or April even, when you have all the people already who are living over here as well, but then also people who are coming for training camps because Girona is amazing.
You'll get so busy. You'll get, like, Europeans coming, like, Northern Europeans coming here for training camps for a bit better weather, but then everyone has the same idea to swim in the morning. And then you also have like club team swim teams that are here, and you're just like, okay, there's no space for me. I need to come at a different time. Well, but
yeah, the other day I was there like for once at like 2 p.m. or something like that. Nobody.
Yeah,
was
it's empty. That's when I've been swimming. I've been swimming like the middle of the day sometimes because I was like, oh, there's a swim team here. Six lanes are occupied. Yeah. I'm not doing this. I'll just run in the morning, easy. Or bundle up and ride. It's fine. It's not that cold anymore. But yeah, the one good thing about the summer is that I think people are more flexible with their swim time, so it's a bit more adaptable.
And also people are on and off towards races and stuff like that.
Yeah, or doing an altitude stint because it's warmer up there.
Yeah. And what do you like the most about Girona?
What do I like the most? I like the community here and like the variety of training. So I like that a lot of times when I'm at camp, it's along the coast and you don't have like four directions to ride in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I really like that aspect here, like north, south, east, west. Riding doesn't get old at all. And then you also have trails and then for riding and then for running too. And it's like, now that I'm on another side of town, I'm discovering so much more and I'm just like, how is this even possible?
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And then I also like the community here. I think like one of the like early expats here was like Christian Meyer and his partner Amber, and they created like Espresso Mafia and Federal, and
it's hopefully gonna be one of the next guests in the podcast.
Oh yeah, he ran with me today too, Juan. You both ran with me today. I was so grateful. But yeah, they've done a really good job, and like they had the service course and now they have Overland. And I think they've done like a really good job for like the international sports community that we have here. For like kind of more of the normal people even that are involved in this community, because obviously you have a ton, like an influx of like professional cyclists and professional triathletes. But then you have a lot of people that work in these industries who are like ex-professionals, and they like still want this sense of community. And I've really embraced this the last few years.
You've been going to a lot of these Overland runs, right?
Yeah. Like when I'm here, I try to go to at least one. And yeah, it was kind of nice because they did my sessions with me this week. Christian, I think, really embraced that, and I was really grateful because, like I said before, I like to do my hard sessions with someone else. And yeah, it was really nice, and it was a nice change. And
cool.
Yeah, I just like the community here.
Yeah. Do you have a hidden gem in Girona? Something you think people don't know of? Or not really?
I think these trails over here by our place. I think that's our new hidden gem. Like, not a ton of people are over here. Like, I always see people running on the Carolette, but not on our side of town. Mm-hmm. And I guess, my secret restaurant up in the hills along the trail.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that one yet.
Send it to you.
Nice. All right, well, that's the part about Girona. And then I think it's nice to be looking ahead a little bit to what's coming. Of course, your season already started. You already have been racing in Abu Dhabi. But as you talked about, the other series that you will be doing, of course, T100 is coming up, and it's coming up soon.
Yes, very soon.
Only like 5 more weeks or something to go towards the first race of the season.
It's okay. I didn't even put 5 weeks of training in before Abu Dhabi. So, this is
so
great.
You're going to be
plenty of time.
Good. Double is good. So for this year, like last year, even in an Olympic year, but you again have a contract for the 200 series. How did you like it last year? I mean, it's a different distance, different bike.
I think the training and the volume I do is pretty good for this distance. Obviously the bike is a lot longer, and that's something I need to get used to, especially on the TT bike. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say doing a race every other weekend after Paris was the best way to practice on the TT bike, because I didn't ride it until after Paris, like not once.
Because of course last year you were focusing on first of all Paris, but you also had like next to the T100 series, you had Super Tri.
Yeah, so I was basically, after Paris, I knew, like, I guess you never know how that race is going to go, and you put so much emphasis on it. So I kind of planned an ambitious schedule with both Super Tri and T100, and I race maybe every other weekend, every 3 weeks. I didn't have, like, a proper training block for these long distance races on the TT bike, but I just kind of like kept going and carried through some fitness. And obviously the bike leg of the T100 was my weakest leg, but I learned a lot, and I really enjoyed kind of like not having expectations of myself in a race and just having fun with it, kind of like I felt when I started triathlon, and learning something new and doing different workouts. Yeah. Like, I didn't have
any
expectations.
I think being into the shorter distance for so long already, if you do something like the 200, first of all, it's like different format, different distances, different people. It's almost, it's still triathlon, but it's like a new sport. Also, like the training before and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, it was like a totally different sport, different people who I'd like kind of met before. Mm-hmm. There were a few people obviously who came from short course, and I really relied on my teammate and a girl I live with at most of my training camps, Kairi Kivioya, who has been doing like a bit of middle distance racing for longer, and she was super helpful. And luckily we got to go to the races together, so that was nice. But yeah, I really enjoyed the community. T100 was really like professional, and they really supported the athletes. And I think
how many races did you do last year, 200? Four?
I only did three? Because...
But you ended up 11th overall still, right?
Yeah, I ended up 11th. But they like gave us like a freebie because... Mm-hmm.
You had Olympics.
Yeah, and they were supposed to have another race, true, but then it got canceled. So yeah, I think it was very professional, kind of similar to Super Tri. Like you don't have the federations involved, mm-hmm, which it's like still... like you still have a bit of pressure on yourself, but it's different, and it's a bit more fun and relaxed. And yeah, I enjoyed it. I look forward to taking on this challenge again this year, and hopefully I'm a little bit better on the bike and over the longer distance. But yeah, I learned a lot, you know, from, you know, the classic losing your nutrition in a race to maybe underfueling to not pacing yourself right and trying to figure out the heat and, you know, how to handle like a TT bike in the wind. Yeah. It was just like a huge learning experience. Yeah. And hopefully I can take that into this year and be more competitive in the series.
What do you... of course, now it's coming up, as you said, pretty quickly, only like about 5 or 6 weeks to go before the first race of the season, which is Singapore.
Singapore, yeah.
Have there been different like approaches up till now towards like the longer stuff? Or are you still like after Abu Dhabi, now it's time to really focus on the longer stuff again? Or
I went to a training camp in like more southern Spain to get a bit more warmer weather because I was having a lot of respiratory problems like the last 2 years, and I had actually gotten sick again the start of the season. So I just wanted to train in a bit warmer environment, and the riding there wasn't really conducive to riding a TT bike because it was super hilly and windy roads. So I rode it on the trainer like two or three times just to kind of get used to the position a bit. But my focus was just kind of building fitness because, like I said, I was like kind of, I had this sickness that lingered and it was rough. I was just building a bit of a base. And now that that race is over, I will never do 100% of my rides on the TT bike. I don't know about you, but I will focus like some priority rides on the TT bike because I know I need to get a feel for that position because it's different. Yeah.
What does the preparation for like towards Singapore look like? Are you going to be staying over here in Girona, or are you going somewhere else? Or
initially I was going to stay here, but my coach wants me to go to our normal training location for a few weeks leading into the race. So I'll go to Monte Gordo, Portugal.
Nice.
Which I've spent a ton of time there. And it's more south, a lot warmer. But other than that, I've been doing some heat sessions. Like I'll finish a ride and go for an hour on the trainer in a hot little room, which is my least favorite thing to do. But I'm just trying to tell myself that it'll make Singapore feel less miserable.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully.
What does your season like? You already have planned your races and stuff like that. First of all, Singapore now after Abu Dhabi, but like you have already in mind these races I really want to do and these I might skip. Or then you also have, I'm not sure if you, that's probably the third series you will still be doing. Super try as well, right?
Yeah, it's a bit tricky. Like, it's kind of been easy to navigate the World Triathlon Series and T100, but trying to fit Super Try in there is a bit more difficult this time around, just based on, like, the dates and stuff. But, yeah, like I said, one of the reasons I did Abu Dhabi, even though I was really not ready for it, was because I wasn't sure how many races were going to count towards the series, and they kind of announced that like a week before the race, so I couldn't pull out. that wasn't the best. I've really looked at the calendar and tried to, you know, I picked some races that I really wanted to go to, like I told you before, Carla Vivari. And then I've kind of just looked at what races work geographically based on where I am. And so after Paris last year, I kind of just raced every other weekend. But this time I kind of want to do like a few races and then a training block and then a few races and a training block. And so hopefully I can like not totally lose fitness by the end of the year and still perform when it counts, when I have like kind of three series finals pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll see how it
goes. That's going to be a
super ambitious.
Ambitious but exciting month of the, period of the year, I think.
Yeah. It'll be fun. And hopefully I planned it out well. We'll see.
We'll see.
TVD.
Other question that we are talking about a little bit already, a long while ago, but you said as well, probably going for ending your professional career in 29. There is something coming up 28, something in your sort of hometown.
Yeah. So
is that something still you're looking for?
Yeah, initially I...
And then by that, I mean, of course, the Olympics in Los Angeles in 2028.
Yeah, so the Olympics are in 2028 in Los Angeles, which is, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's just in the U.S., it's from Los Angeles.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like pretty...
So special, yeah.
It took me a while to kind of make this decision because I was like, oh, I'm getting older. Like, there's so many young people in this sport, but then like I mentioned before, we have Flora Duffy and Andrew Hewitt who like competed and were competitive in like, you know, a bit later ages, and so I kind of draw inspiration from that and would like to continue until 2028. But in the meantime, I'm trying to find ways to like have fun with the sport and still challenge myself so I don't get like mentally stale,
yep.
I guess. Mm-hmm. And eventually maybe I'll do a 70.3 before then. I'll definitely do a 70.3 before LA 2028.
That's not that different than the 100, right?
But like I need to be strategic about it, and I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I'll stick to three series. I think that's plenty.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll try a
but
few
I think
different
if you're still
and,
thinking about like an Olympic distance in 2028, hopefully at Olympics, of course, you still have to keep like the speed work, hopefully in the body, but like really doing or wanting to do like an Ironman eventually is going to be tricky then, I think, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go.
If you actually want to, I don't know.
I mean, maybe that could be like my last thing, like I do in 2029, you know, like, okay, box ticked. Okay, we'll retire. And
just for some organizers out there in LA, come up with an Ironman in LA. That might be really cool.
Post Olympics.
Yeah.
I'll do that and then retire. But yeah, that's generally my goal, is just to like see it through LA 2028, maybe do like a few races just because I'll probably be super fit in the next like year, and then kind of turn it down and figure out what I want to do next. But yeah, we'll see what happens until then, because unlike the period between Tokyo and Paris, which was 3 years because of COVID, this is 4 years, and I know, right, like it's gonna feel long at times, but then again, and I think it will also feel fast once it comes. So
time goes fast.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're almost getting towards the end of the podcast, I think. But on Instagram of Grit Grind Girona, I've asked if people would still have some questions for you. So I've got a couple. And first one is, what do you think is harder, Super Sprint or T100?
Oof. I think it's very different. I think I really like the new consistent format of Super Tri because it's the enduro. So it's swim, bike, run three times back to back. And I think that suits me because I come from a swimming background and I can finally like use that as a bit of a weapon. Whereas I think when you just have one swim, you can't really like break it up when people aren't as strong because you know, after you do a triathlon and you jump in the water to swim, it's a totally different feeling.
I can imagine, yeah.
And yeah, that's what I kind of like about Super Try. Like, finally, some like the sport that I'm the best at can become an asset to me. So I've been, you know, successful because of that.
Isn't also, sorry for interrupting, but like Super Try, doesn't it also have some sort of the same feeling? Like, it's a little bit different than real triathlon, you know? It's still triathlon, but it's like different with a different format. Isn't it also a little bit same kind of idea that you had with like surf life saving, that you had all these different kind of things, or not really?
I mean, it's like shorter, but yeah, there is one event. Well, it's just, I think it just requires like a very tactical mindset too, and you have to think about so much. And you learn a lot after doing a lot of them. Because so many mistakes can be made. And I think the more mistakes you can eliminate, the better you'll do. And the more experience you get, the better you'll do as well. So I think, yeah, I like that aspect of it as well. Like, it's not just like a race where you go. It's like there's so much to it and you have to use your brain, which I think in races I'm good at, finally. But it's taken a lot of learning.
Okay.
But I think the T100 is hard because I am not experienced on the TT bike. And I remember looking down at my Garmin in T100 Vegas, like, I think it was like, I don't know, halfway through the race. And I was like, oh my gosh, I would be done with an Olympic distance race right now. This is so long. So yeah, it just feels so much longer. And I think if you put in the training, and like a good training block before, it doesn't feel quite as long. But when I was just like racing back to back and going from Super Try to this, it was like, whoa, this was a shock to the system. Yeah. And so I found that aspect like something I need to like just train for, basically.
Right. Well, you talked a little bit about like these health issues that you had along the years. I think especially in these kind of times, it's really like tough to still get be motivated because it doesn't go that in the way you wanted to have been going. One of the questions from somebody was like, do you have any tips for maintaining that discipline? You know?
Yeah, I think it's hard to keep all the time. There's definitely like lulls, and I think it's really important to like take breaks in the off season. And then I like to take also a few days in the middle of the year when I have like enough time to do like a proper training block after. So when there's like a lull in the calendar, I think that helps a lot. And then I think also being able to like turn off, like I said, I listen to like non-sport related podcasts and we'll go on like a mountain bike ride / gravel ride actually, for my easy rides, and like not look at my power or anything. And it just reminds you why you do the sport, and that it's like also can be fun sometimes. Yeah. And I think
keep the mind a little bit fresh as well.
Yeah, it like keeps you mentally a bit, yeah, happier. And having, I don't know, whenever you have fun, like you want to do something, right? And for sure it can become a grind, and that's one of the reasons I like limit my time at camps usually to like 5 or 6 weeks, which for a cyclist that's really long, but for a triathlete that's not very long, just because I know I can get like a bit mentally stale. But yeah, another thing that also helps with the discipline is just having someone to like meet, even if it's like just start the session, like say you and I are going to the pool, even if we don't do the same session, at least we like hold each other accountable. And I find like starting to be the hardest part sometimes, but once you're there, it's like, oh, this is okay. I can get this done now.
Yeah, nice. What is your favorite celebration meal after a race?
Ooh, after a race, I usually eat a burger. Like just a big juicy burger, lots of fries, like anything, honestly, that just gives you lots of calories because you're probably a bit depleted because you've only eaten like breakfast and haven't had a real lunch besides a bunch of gels. So you just want like a calorie bomb. But I also love a good burrito when I'm in the US.
Mm. Cool. And last question is, of course, hopefully it's going to be 29. 2029. But you already have been thinking about what you would like to do after your professional sports career?
I don't have like any concrete ideas. I know because I studied architecture, I think I'm very like design oriented, like mentally, but I also care a lot about the environment and how like design impacts the environment. And I'd like to tie those two things together in some way. Like, I don't think I'm going to become an architect. I think I'm too far removed from that now. And I don't want to go through like thousands of dollars worth of tests and sit at a desk all day. Like, I think we're far too active to have a full-time desk job in the future. But I do want to do something with my hands. I do want to do something with design. And if I can tie that all into sport and like have a eco-friendly, sustainable mindset, that is my envision. But do I know what I'm going to do? Absolutely not. So if anyone has ideas for me, please let me know.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's maybe also a nice thing that you don't really know what's coming up, right?
Yeah, I think if I like really had an idea of what I wanted to do, I could make a plan. But I think also like things are always changing and you're always evolving, and maybe an opportunity will come up along the way. Or if someone hears my, you know, very generic idea of what I want to do, they can reach out.
You see yourself after your sports career still living over here in Girona or Spain, or you are having ideas about, I want to maybe go there or something like that? Or is it also probably depending on what you're going to be doing?
I think it depends on what I'm going to be doing and like what industry I work in, the type of people I work with. I don't really mind where I am, but I do like the community here. But I don't know if that community would still be the right thing for me after done with sport. Mm-hmm. So who knows where I'm going to be, honestly. But yeah, I don't really care as long as I like the place I'm in and the people I'm with.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a little bit of the conclusion of the more than 1 hour talk that we already had right now. It's going fast, of course. I've got one final question I always would like to ask my guests, and that's the following. What is the one thing you would want to say to your younger self?
Oof. I think to my younger self, what would I say? I would start triathlon earlier, probably. Start running and biking a little earlier. Yeah. So it didn't come to me so much later in life. But yeah, when it comes to triathlon, but also to remember to like have fun with sport, because that's why you do it in the first place.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for making the time to be in the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure for me, and I think it was a really nice conversation that we had. We had a lot of cool things to talk about, and all the best for a crazy, busy year again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All the best to you, too, in your much longer races.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to this Grit Grind Girona podcast, and I had a really nice time with Taylor on the other side of the table. And in a couple of weeks, we hopefully have a nice new guest as well. And if the listeners want to or think about any people who they want to be having as a future guest, let me know. And Taylor, thanks again. Have a nice rest of the weekend and a nice ride towards St. Hilary tomorrow.
Yeah, I will. Thank you so much for having me. You too.
And see you guys in the next Grit Grind Girona.
1, 2.
This podcast is brought to you by the Dutch media platform Triathlon Inside.